There was a great prophet, the great and last prophet of the Old Testament. His name was John the Baptist. And he came specifically to prepare the way, like the prophet Isaiah before him prophesied, that he will be like the voice in the desert calling out to prepare the way for the Messiah. And then we see John the Baptist coming to fulfill the prophecy that God spoke through the great prophet Isaiah, and he spoke these awesome words. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." He started off his ministry by saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And he went throughout the region of Jordan and Israel, and he preached a repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And then one day, Jesus himself came to John to be baptized. And John reluctantly argued with the Lord and said, "Lord, it cannot be. How can you ask me to baptize you? I should ask you to baptize me." But Jesus insisted. And so John obeyed and he baptized the Lord. And as he did so, he saw the Holy Spirit ascend from heaven like a dove and rest upon Jesus. And then those awesome words that God spoke in an audible voice, "Behold, my Son in whom I'm well pleased." And from that moment, John knew without a shadow of doubt that this is the one. And not long afterwards, as John was sitting with his disciples, he saw Jesus pass by again. And then he stood up and he said these powerful words. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." One of the most loaded sentences spoken by an Old Testament prophet. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Loaded in many senses because it was referring to so many different things that would flash through the Jewish mind. And this morning I want us to just spend some time again in reflecting and hearing the Spirit speak to us through the words of John. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. You know, humanity's greatest dilemma is sin. Our greatest dilemma in light of an holy God and eternity is our sin. Because with sin comes guilt. And with guilt comes consequence, penalty. And that penalty is death. And that's man's greatest dilemma, our sin. And the thing that ties us to our sin, the things that we have committed, the things that we have done wrong, the thing that ties us to it like a string, like a piece of rope, is called guilt. You know, the amazing thing about guilt, it ties us back to the very thing that we have done, the very thing that we have wronged our God and our man around us. It ties us to the past, it ties us to our acts, it ties us to our fear of judgment and the consequence of the very things that we have done. And no matter what we do, even though we try to struggle to get free, you know what? There's something that holds us back. There's something that ties us back to the very thing that we have done. And that thing that ties us, that thing that ties us to our past, the thing that ties us to our sin, it's called guilt. You know, guilt is a fact because we have sinned, but guilt is also a feeling. It's something that we all feel when we have wronged. You know, it's a feeling that's far greater than regret. Guilt is something that devalues me as a person in the face of God. Guilt is something that will eat me from the inside. whenever I am faced with my past. Guilt is something that grows when my sin is exposed. The moment my sin and my flaw and my shame is exposed, you know, this guilt seems to grow and it seems to eat more and devalue me more. It is amazing to see how people's identity is even shaped by guilt. The power of guilt in my life, the thing that keeps me bound to my past and the very thing that I want to escape. It is guilt that drives me to hide from God. I mean, remember Adam and Eve. When they sinned, it was their guilt that made them hide from God. Their first response to their act of disobedience was to hide from God. Even before God approached, they were hiding from Him because their guilt was ministering to their value. And with guilt comes fear. Fear of judgment, fear of rejection. And it has the power to even destroy us. But here John comes and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." You know, John was speaking to an audience that was well familiar with God, with the holiness of God, but also with sin and the consequence of sin. The law itself made it very clear through the sacrificial system. I mean, if you sin, you had to take a young, blameless animal and kill it. It had to be sacrificed. It had to be killed so that you can be forgiven. The whole concept of atonement, where you take something on in your place, but you understood that the penalty of what you have done deserves death. And that whole sacrificial system was so powerful in showing man just that, that without the shedding of blood, there can be no atonement. In Leviticus 17, God speaks to His people and He says, "For the life of a creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for your sins." And then in Hebrews we read, "In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with the blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness." So John's audience understood what it means. They understood what holiness means. They understood what sin means. They understood the consequence of sin. So when John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world," he was saying something so powerful, so profound. He was setting the stage for the fulfillment of all the scriptures. He was setting the stage, he was preparing the way for the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. And how powerful a statement it was when John stood up and spoke those words. You know, if you look at the history of the Jewish people, they really only became a nation once they left Egypt. I mean, when Joseph the first time came to Egypt and he invited his father and his brothers and their family over, Israel was only a family. They were not a nation. They were simply a family. And it is in Egypt where they grew in numbers. But you know what? They as a nation was only birthed when they were released from Egypt, when they were set free, when God called them out. That is when their identity was established. Before that, they were only slaves. They were still captive. And it's during the Exodus out of Egypt, the events, the festival, the receiving of the law that gave identity to this nation. But you know, the powerful thing about the Old Testament is only a metaphor of the realities that was meant to come. And that's why it makes it so powerful to study, because there's so much truth in it. And when you study the Old Testament, you will find that Egypt always refers to our past bondage to sin. When we were still enslaved, when we were still trapped, when we couldn't be free, where there was something keeping us back and we were trapped. And yet we see that even in the nation of Israel, their identity was shaped in their freedom and not in their captivity. When they were still captive, they had no identity. They were slaves, but their identity was only shaped in their freedom. You know what? There are so many people here, even in this room, that your identity is shaped in your past mistakes and not in your freedom. The way you feel about yourself, the way you view yourself, the way you value yourself, is that formed in your past or is it formed in your freedom? There is stuff that is still tying you to your past. Even though you want to get free, you are still bound to your past. You know, guilt is not the only thing that binds us to our past. There's another very powerful thing that ties us to our past like an umbilical cord. It is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is another thing because unforgiveness is tying us back to the person that offended us, the person that wronged us. And you know what? Unforgiveness is as powerful as guilt because it ties me back to someone. It ties me back to a person, an offense, a wrong. And while there's still unforgiveness in my life, you know what? I am tied to that person. And that's why forgiveness is such a powerful thing. Because it sets me free. You know, guilt works exactly the same way. If there's guilt in my life, it ties me back to something. The nation of Israel was really established only when they were set free. When they left the captivity, when they left Egypt, when the bonds around them, the shackles, were taken off, when they was finally released. You know what? And there was a specific event that marked their freedom. There was a specific event that changed everything. It's like the key that was placed into the lock of the shackles that kept them bound. And that's still the greatest festival in the Jewish calendar. It's called the Passover. You remember that seventh and final plague, the death of the firstborn son, when the angel of death came to every door in Egypt and judgment came to every house. But God spoke to the Israelites and said, I want you to take a lamb and I want you to kill the lamb and I want you to take its blood. I want you to take its blood and I want you to smear it on the doorposts of your home. And you know what's so amazing? When the angel of death came by, every house that had the blood of the lamb on the doorpost was passed over. The angel would come and see the blood and will pass over the house. I mean, that's where the whole name comes from, the Passover. Literally, the angel of death would pass over every house. And you know what? The thing that determined whether the angel of death would enter or pass over was whether there was blood on the door. It's not like the angel first went inside to see who's there. It didn't matter whether you was a good person or a bad person, an upright person or a shameful person. As a matter of fact, there wasn't even a law by which you can measure yourself. The only thing that mattered, it didn't matter who you were or what you have done. The only thing that mattered is whether there was blood or no blood. The only thing that mattered was the presence or the absence of blood. And whenever the angel saw the blood, it was sufficient. It was sufficient to pass them over. And from that day on, the Jewish nation still celebrates this great and awesome day when they got their freedom, when the nation was established, and when they could follow the purposes of God. It was established through the blood. It was the blood that saved them. It wasn't their works. It wasn't their past. It wasn't their behavior. If you had enough faith to put blood on your doorpost, you were saved. You know, it's important to note because Israel was not saved through the receiving of the law. The law only came later on. It's so amazing how God, through the Old Testament, paints the entire picture of the gospel. And how you look at the life of Jesus and his words and how he fulfills everything. Because we are not saved by our works. We are not saved through measuring ourselves by the law. We are saved. We are set free through the blood of a lamb. And when John the Baptist spoke these words, he said, "There is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He was saying something so profound. Something so powerful. Jesus said, "I have not come to abolish the law, but I've come to fulfill the law. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." The stage is set. And you know what? Jesus was crucified on the exact day that the Passover was celebrated. Isn't that amazing fulfillment of Scripture? John the Baptist setting the stage, Christ coming to fulfill it on the exact day when the entire nation celebrated its freedom. That is not based on works, that is not based on approval, that is not based on value, but is simply based on the blood of a lamb. The Lamb of God. It does not matter who you are or what you have done. It doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is the presence or the absence of the blood of the Lamb. You only need to have enough faith to apply that blood to your life. That's all that is required. And you can be free. You can be free. John said something very powerful. He said, "The Lamb of God that takes away the sin." I mean, that's something very profound and very powerful in the context of the Old Testament. I mean, here in Hebrews chapter 10, we read it. It says, "The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year make perfect those who draw near to worship. Otherwise, they would have stopped being offered. For the worshippers would have been cleansed once and for all and would no longer have a guilty conscience." But there was a problem with the law. "But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin." You see, the worshippers in the Old Testament, they had a problem. Even though the law required them to make sacrifices, it could not take away sin. And therefore, they could never escape the guilt. Because the only thing that the law could do was to make atonement, was to cover their sin. That's literally what it means in Hebrew. It is to cover your sin. You can cover your sin, but you know what the problem with that is? You are still tied to it. And therefore it says that the worshippers still felt guilty. Because the law and the sacrifices could not take away sin. Here John the Baptist stands up and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." You know, so many Christians still live with an Old Testament understanding of forgiveness. Their sin might be covered, overlooked, but you know what? We are still bound to it. We still feel guilty for the very things that we have done. And with that guilt comes the shame and the fear. And we hide from God. We devalue ourselves in His presence and we don't have confidence to come to Him. And we hide from God. That's the problem with guilt. It makes us hide from God. Because you know that you are not worthy. You know that you have failed. And you know what? If your own conscience doesn't accuse you, the devil certainly will. The devil will come and remind you of your past. He will remind you of the things that you've done, even though it has been covered. You know what? There's something that binds me to it, and the devil reminds me of it. He says, remember your sin. Look at you. You still continue to sin. How can you come to God? How can you possibly believe that He likes you, that He loves you, that He is excited about you, that He welcomes you into His presence, and He has no issue with you? I mean, remember that sin that you've done 5 years ago. Do you think God can ever forgive you for that? See, if our own conscience doesn't accuse us, the devil certainly will. And there's something that keeps us bound to that, and that is called guilt. But you know what? God did something so awesome to change my life. And He did something so awesome to change your life. Sin to God is a very personal matter, but He also dealt with it in a very personal matter. And we read of that further on in that same chapter. As a matter of fact, the next verse, we read about Christ's encounter with the Father even before the foundation of the world. And it says, therefore, when Christ came into the world, He said, sacrifices and offerings you did not desire, Father, because the blood of bulls and goats cannot satisfy you, so you made me a body you have prepared for me, Father. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, here I am, as it was written about me in the scroll. Here I am, Father, to do your will. I will be the body. I will be the lamb. I will be the Lamb of God that satisfy you completely. I will be the sacrifice that will satisfy you completely, not just to cover the sin, but to take it away. So Jesus, who had no sin, became the perfect Lamb for all of us. He became the Lamb that satisfied God completely. Not a shadow, not a metaphor, but the fulfillment of it all. The Lamb that was slain for you and me. Then it continues. He said in verse 8, sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire. You were not pleased with them, even though they were offered in accordance with the law. And secondly, then He said, here I am, I have come to do your will. He sets aside the first to establish the second, and by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Christ once and for all. You see, the problem with the Old Testament is you had to repeatedly come back to God because of your sin. And you could never be free from a guilty conscience. You had to repeatedly had to shed blood so that your sins can be forgiven. Here, God says that I've sent my Son once and for all to take away my sin, your sin, once and for all. The last words of Jesus on the cross was, "It is finished. It is finished. It is over. Once and for all, for every sin, all sin, it doesn't matter how great your sin is, it doesn't matter how bad it was, it doesn't matter how frequent it was. God says, I've made provision. I have sacrificed my only son so that you can be free." You know, God is the first one that says we are guilty. We sometimes think it is ourselves, we sometimes think it's the devil, but God is the first one that says we are guilty. God is the first one that sees when we sin against Him, when we sin against each other. He's the first one that sees that we are guilty, but you know what? Then He sees the blood. He sees the blood of His Son that was sacrificed for you and me. He sees the blood and He says, you know what? Even though I see your sin, I see the blood, and this is sufficient for me. Therefore, I set you free. That's called justification. God sees the sacrifice. It satisfies Him. You know, God does not ignore our sin when we come into His presence. He doesn't try to hide it. He doesn't try to avoid it. He sees it openly and plainly. He sees it as it is. And then He sees the blood of His Son. And He says, that is sufficient. You are justified. Come. It's paid for in full. That is the amazing thing about the God that we serve, that He chose to redeem us when we chose to reject Him. Once and for all. It says here in 1 John 1 verse 7, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purify us of all sin." It can also mean every sin. It doesn't matter which way you want to interpret the Greek, whether it's all sin or every sin. I want you to say every sin. All sin. Purified by the blood of the Lamb. Once and for all. Doesn't matter how big or small. You know what? And can somebody just please take away that sin for me? Anybody, just take it away. Is there somebody that can take this away for me? My sin. Is there somebody? Please. Thank you. I've got a Savior. Can you just take this away? Let's take it out. Throw it away. I don't know what you want to do with it. I need it tonight as well. So don't throw it away, but you know, that's the difference between the Old and the New Testament. That is the difference between the shadow and the reality and the fulfillment of the law. Jesus says, listen here, my sacrifice is sufficient for you, not just to cover your sin, but to take it away. You know what? All of a sudden, this is no longer tied to anything, is it? Because my sin is taken away, there is no more place for this in my life. Because it's not tied to anything. But so many of us, we are still thinking this is tied to something. And that's why so many Christians struggle with guilt, because they haven't come to the place where they have applied with an understanding and faith what the blood has done for us. We just sang it there. It is the blood that is my victory. Isn't that powerful? It is the blood that washes me clean. It is the blood that sets me free. And the moment I understand that, you know what? There's no more place for guilt in my life. Because it's tied to nothing. And I can be free. Because I'm no longer tied to anything in the past. When Christ said, I've come to set you free, it means you are free indeed. There is nothing that holds you back to come into the presence of God. Nothing. It's over. Once and for all, it's finished. The only thing that we need to do is to have enough faith to apply this in our lives. You know what? We come to God And that's why so many Christians still struggle with guilt. You know why we still struggle with guilt? Because we are trying to find something in ourselves that we can achieve our righteousness, prove our righteousness to, through. We want to prove to the devil, we want to prove to ourselves, it is because of my good works, my good conduct, my feelings, that I can come to God. And that's what the devil wants us to do. He wants us not to look to this. He wants us to look to ourselves. He wants us to find in ourselves some reason to say to him, no, you are wrong. I can come to God. And that's all that he wants to do, because then we are not looking to this. We are not putting our faith in this. We are looking to ourselves. You know what? In the moment we start to look at ourselves, something happens. Guilt comes back into my life. It creeps in and I become immobilized. And you know what? Fear creeps in. Fear of rejection, fear of punishment, and then I start to hide from God. Because all that the devil managed to do was to make me think about me and not about God. I'm not saying we should deny our past. You know what? When we have feelings of guilt, we must ask ourselves, how do I approach God? Am I approaching him by looking at my own merit? By the things that I have done, by the way I feel? Or am I coming to God through the blood? I mean, am I coming to God and I say, God, I thank you for your sacrifice. God, I want to come to you and acknowledge, God, that I have wronged you, God, but I thank you for your blood that was shed for me. And that your blood, God, it is sufficient. It is sufficient for everything that I have done, God. And I can come to you and I know that you love me, that you receive me, that you are satisfied, that this is enough for you. You know, the moment we come to God by the blood and our faith in the blood, the moment we come to God based on his merit and not our merit, you know what? We are accepted. But the moment we try to come to God with our own merit and our own feelings, you know what? We will fail. And guilt will creep in, we'll become immobilized, and we will start to hide from God. And that's the amazing thing about grace. It's nothing to do with me. It's not about my works, my achievements, my performance. It's everything about him. In Hebrews chapter 10, further on it says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter into the most holy place by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened to us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have this great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere conscience. With a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith. Listen to this, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. And having our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we professed. Because he who promised is faithful. Isn't that amazing that we can come to God, not just without my sin, but without this? I don't have to have a guilty conscience anymore. Because it's taken away. It's taken away once and for all. My guilt is removed. I can approach God without fear. And I know I'm accepted. That is called freedom. That is called freedom. That is why Christ came to this world. Is to set us free. To set you and me free from our sin, from our past, from our shame, from the things that we have done wrong. To set us free from our guilt. From set us free from devaluing ourselves. But that we can have confidence to come to him. And that's why this morning I started off by asking that simple question, what are the things that keep you from God? What are the things in your heart that devalues you in His presence? What are the things that makes you feel unworthy? What are the things in your past that is still determining your future? God has set you free. Now I want us just to close our eyes this morning. And I want you to bring those things to God. The things that makes you feel distant from Him. The things that prevent you from feeling completely accepted in His presence. The things that makes you feel unworthy. The sin, the mistakes, the choices, all those things. God wants to set you free. As a matter of fact, He has already set you free. You must simply go and apply that blood to every single thing that still keeps you tied back to your past. If there is things in your life that is still holding you back, I just want you to respond to God by saying, God, here I am. God, I want to bring these things to You. I want just you to raise your hand if that is you tonight, this morning. If that is you, just raise your hand. Just raise your hand before God. Say, God, here I am, Father. I've got stuff in my life that keeps me back. God, there's stuff in my life that holds me back. God, there's stuff in my life that ties me to my past. God, there's stuff in my life that eats me, God. There's stuff in my life that devalues me, God. There's stuff in my life, God, that makes me feel unloving. And maybe there's some of you here this morning, there's unforgiveness in your heart. I just feel I must throw that in also, but because you know what? It works exactly the same thing. Maybe there are people here this morning that you know there are people that you need to forgive. And you're walking around with that offense in your heart. You know what? You will find while there is unforgiveness, that thing in your heart that makes you feel so yuck and negative towards that person. It will wear you down. That very thing will eat you up. You have to set them free. You have to let go. You've got to go and you've got to bring that person to God in the same way as you would bring your sin. You would say, God, I thank You that You have died for me and the wrongs that I have committed, that I can ask Your blood in my life, painted on my life, on my doorpost, God, on my heart, Lord. I ask You, God, to take away my sin, God, in the same way I bring this person who has sinned against me, Father, who have wronged me. And Father, I pray that You will take Your blood, God, and You will wash them clean. I pray, God, that You will set them free as I set them free today. As I choose, God, to forgive them as You choose to forgive me. Father, I want to set them free. In our lives this morning. Maybe there are people here this morning that you have turned away from God. Your heart has grown cold towards Him. Maybe you've turned your back. Maybe you've just stop spending time with Him. And then stop spending time in His Word and then before you know it, there's a distance between you and God. You know, God wants you to come back. He wants to take that away from you. You simply need to come to Him and say, God, here I am. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never given your life to God. You've never come to Him and say, God, I thank You for what You have done for me through the blood of Your Lamb. I pray, Father, that You will come and set me free from my sin, from my shame, from my guilt, once and for all. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never been free. Also want to give you an opportunity just to respond to God, but just raising your hand, say, God, here I am, God. I want to come back to You, God. I want to give You my life, God, for the first time, for the third time. It doesn't matter. If you are far away from God, and you know that if the angel of death would pass your life by, you are not sure, you are not confident that He's going to pass you over. If that is you this morning, I just want you to respond also to God. Father, I want to pray for every heart this morning, Father, that responded to You, Lord. I thank You for all those hands, God, that was raised. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that You will come by Your blood, Lord, and that You will come and establish in us salvation, that You will come and establish in us freedom. God, I pray that as we come before You, Lord, and we confess our sins, Father, and we put our faith in Your blood, Father, as we confess our sins, Father, that's what we're doing, God. We are literally taking that brush and we are applying Your blood to our mistakes. And Father, I pray that as we do that this morning, Father, that You will come and set us free. Set us free, Father, that You will take it away once and for all. And God, that You will take away not just our sin, God, but that You will allow us to take the rope off our legs and our arms and our necks. Father, that we can cast it off and know that we are free. I want to ask you to do something very bold. If you've raised your hand this morning, I want you to respond to that and I want you to come forward. I want you just to come forward because we want to pray with you. We want to stand in agreement because God says that, you know what, if we confess our sins one to another, we will be healed. So I want to ask you this morning, if you've raised your hand, it doesn't matter for what you've raised your hand, I want you to take your belongings and quickly come forward. And I'm going to ask the facilitators to join us. And we want to bring those things. We're going to bring those things to God. It's time to deal with it once and for all. And if you want to return to God, you want to commit your life to God, I want to ask you to come also. But right now, let's quickly stand. Those who have raised your hands, let's just come forward. And we're going to make our hearts, our lives, our pasts, our future, we're going to bring it to God and we're going to ask Him to set us free. We're going to apply the blood of the Lamb to the hearts, to our minds, to everything. And we're going to ask Him not just to set us free, but to heal us. For some of us here this morning, I know you need healing. Some of you here are simply here because you need to forgive. And I want to pray for each one of you as the facilitators pray with you also. I'm just going to come by. But if the facilitators can quickly come forward. Is there anybody else? If it's you, just quickly come forward. And let's just bring this. Let's just come to God. If you are here and you're still in your seats, I just want you to pray with us. Just in your own words, just come to God and thank God for the blood. We're going to sing that song again in a moment. But I want you just to thank God in your own words. Bring your own life to Him. Bring your family to Him. Bring your workplace to Him. Bring everything that is in your influence to God and ask Him for His blood. Ask Him for His blood to be shed, to be smeared over your life, over your family, over your workplace, over your friends. Just bring those people before God as we minister here. Just for a moment, just spend some time with God.